Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here every Sunday at 11 a.m. live on 850 WFTL in South Florida. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in condominium and plan development law. So everything HOA and condo he knows. And his firm has attorneys in Fort Lauderdale and Orlando. And we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. And we'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions. No matter where you are in the state, give us a call right here in the studio, or for that matter in the world, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Contact Us tab.
All right. Good morning, everybody. If you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, make sure to go to our website, condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list. By joining each week, you're going to get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a lot more. We do a blog every Monday morning at hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, is your fining process fine?
No, probably not.
So many associations do it the wrong way.
I'm sure
they try, but they just do it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And when they learn how to do it, they're like, that's how you do it?
Oh,
we've been
Lord.
Doing it wrong for 30 years.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah, so tomorrow they'll learn the right way to do it. And before we get going, I just want to thank all of the 110 of you that attended our online board certification seminar this past Tuesday night. It was really great. People from, you know, all over the states, different parts of the country even. And I want to thank Santiago Grassi from Affinity Property Management, Greg Waltz from MacMac and Waltz, and CPA Mark Gerstel from Gerstel, Rosen, and Goldenberg for helping me teach the class. And that's going to be the last seminar for a while. We're going to be off for the summer, if you don't mind, right? I mean, how many did we do?
Right? You earned it.
Yeah, but when we come back, Karen, we're going to come back live and in person.
Yay!
Yeah, I cannot wait. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's nice to do it online, but there's nothing like standing in front of a crowd. There's nothing like serving everybody dinner and getting everybody in a good mood, and I'm sure a lot of people can't wait for that. I certainly can.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's better in person. So, by the way, I do understand you have a busy afternoon planned right after our show.
Yeah, sure do, Karen. There is a huge march in support of Israel in Hollandale Beach. That starts at 11:30, and another in Fort Lauderdale at Oakland Park Boulevard and US 1 from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And I got to tell you, I can't wait to go there and show my support. I don't have to tell you that the rise in anti-Semitism, especially over the last 2 weeks, is concerning.
Yeah.
And it's now more important than ever for supporters of Israel and the Jewish people. And I got to tell you, regardless of whether or not you're Jewish yourself, to stand up, take it to the streets, and show your support. You know, you see people that are scared, and all I can say is this is no time to hide in your house. It's no time to be afraid and hope the danger passes you by. This is not Germany in the 1930s. This is your country. This is America, for God's sakes. We're not going to get beat up in the streets. We're not going to get asked if we're Jewish while eating in a restaurant. Get out of your house. Stand up for yourself. Show the world that the slogan never again actually means something, and it's not just words.
Yep.
That's how I feel about it.
But people are getting beat up, like what, the kid in Times Square?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, maybe it's time to fight back.
Okay, so how concerned are you about, you know, Bernie Sanders, Jewish, and the squad repeatedly coming out against Israel over the past two weeks? He wants to defund.
Defund, of course. I expect it from the squad, but to see a Jewish senator call to stop arms sales to Israel so that Israel can't defend themselves. Senator or not, he's a disgrace to the Jewish people. He's an embarrassment. He's a traitor, period. That's all he is. No respect for the man at all.
And I remember, actually, weren't you in the West Bank just a few years ago?
Yeah, right. Let me tell you, I was with my mom, my mother-in-law, my family, you know, my wife. We were warned it could be dangerous, but, you know, I wanted to go to Bethlehem. And I wanted to see the Church of the Nativity where Jesus was born.
Beautiful.
And, of course, Bethlehem is now on the other side of the walls that Israel built. And I got to tell you, it was definitely very scary going on the other side where, by the way, Israeli citizens are not allowed to go. Israeli citizens can't go into the West Bank, can't go into Gaza. So, you know, we had to make special arrangements in advance. And I got to tell you, when my family and I got through security and into the West Bank, picture some guy that looks like Tony Montana from Scarface. He comes up to me and says, I know you're American. I know you're Jewish, and that's why they sent me to take care of your family.
Oh.
Stay with me, and you'll be fine. And we did. We stayed with the guy, and we were. It did work out fine.
So the birth of Christ is in Gaza.
It is not in Gaza. It is in the West Bank.
In the West Bank.
In the West Bank. Bethlehem in the West Bank.
Pardon me. Okay.
Yes,
so
yeah.
I know these walls were built against people living behind the wall were blowing up restaurants and cafes in Tel Aviv, and Israel believed that it had no choice, right?
Yeah,
I mean, this
to
was
put up
all,
these walls.
What
exactly.
started the whole thing?
Yeah, you had, like I said, right, you know, right, like you said, restaurants and cafes were being blown up in Tel Aviv all the time, and where were these people living that did it? On the other side of those walls. So Israel put up the walls, and you know what they found out? Walls work. Walls actually work. Yes. The bombing of the cafes and the bombing of the restaurants stopped, and Israelis stopped getting killed. But, you know, look, it's unfortunate it has to be this way, but it has to be this way to prevent innocent men, women, and children from getting killed. The problem is that the people on the other side of the wall, you know, you hear they just want a small piece of land back. That's ridiculous. You know this whole fight isn't about land. All of Israel's the size of New Jersey. Arabs occupy land that is larger than the United States. So, you know, no, the people on the other side of the walls, they want the destruction of Israel. Certainly Hamas does. So this fight will go on forever, unfortunately.
So, and I just didn't understand this, so maybe you can explain. A lot of people don't realize, but the Gaza Strip and the West Bank are located in Israel,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Israelis cannot go there.
You have to picture this. That's correct. Think about this. Imagine the most deadliest enemies of all Floridians lived in Hollywood and Boca Raton, right? Think about that.
Okay.
And in order for the rest of South Florida to be safe, we have to put up walls and we have to have security so that the people of Hollywood and Boca Raton can't come into any other part of South Florida unless they have a work permit. But make no mistake, the people of Hollywood and Boca Raton want the total annihilation of the rest of South Florida. That's exactly what's going on in Israel. You know, I'd love to see peace, but I'm sorry to say, in my view, it's unrealistic to think there could be peace in this situation unless the other Arab countries welcome the Palestinians into their country and Israel takes complete control and vacancy over the land that we're fighting about. And I can tell you, Israel, the United States, and other Arab countries, they would gladly fund that deal. But guess what? Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations, they don't want that to happen. They don't want peace. They want the money to continue to flow in. They want war, and they want to use that money to build rockets, period.
You know, there's always two sides to everything, and the United States is not really sending a clear message, or maybe the United States doesn't want to take sides because we give money to both the nation of Israel and the Palestinians. I mean, who do we really support?
Yeah. You know, of course, President Trump was very clear where he stood, right? There was absolutely no doubt about where he stood. He cut off all aid to the Palestinians. He moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. He declared the Golan Heights part of Israel. And I got to tell you, at this point, I'm sorry, I just can't accept the Democrats, who were and still are Trump haters, posting their support for Israel all over social media. They put up these beautiful blue bands that says, I support Israel, yet they voted for Biden.
And
no, you can't
Debbie
have it both ways.
Schultz.
Yeah, Trump was the best friend Israel ever had. But instead, they voted for a man that immediately reinstated hundreds of millions of dollars in aid to the Palestinians, knowing we knew that this money was going to be used for rockets and tunnels. You know why? Because that's what the money is always used for. But our president isn't done. So as vice president, right, he sent Iran billions, knowing they used the money to supply the rockets in Gaza. So I'm sorry, if you voted for Biden, you helped it put Israel in the terrible position it's in. You put your loyalty to your party in front of loyalty to your heritage and your country. And in any event, I hope many of you listening wind up marching today in support of Israel and the Jewish people. And again, it's 11:30 in Hollandale. And 2 o'clock, actually, on Oakland Park Boulevard in US 1 in Fort Lauderdale. Let's do this. Let's take our first break. I'll come down a little bit.
You're
and
fine.
Let's hear what our listeners think. Give us a call in the studio, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Be back right after this.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? DMI Paving and Seal Coating can help. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is the largest seal coating company in the United States, an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let DMI Paving and Seal Coating pave the way and make your community look great. At DMI Paving and Seal Coating, they believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, condominium and hotel associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is a LEED accredited Green Advantage certified environmentally responsible full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. DMI Paving and Seal Coating serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call today for a free estimate, 800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. Or visit DMIPavingAndSealCoating.com.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Call 954-846-1206. 954-846-1206. That's 954-846-1206. Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Condo Grays and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer, specializing in community association law, everything condo, HOA, or co-op. If you have a question, maybe you're on the board or you're a resident and you just are scratching your head and you want to know what's going on, give us a call, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, let's go to the phones. Linda, Royal Palm. How are you, Linda?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. I have a question. In the minimum statutory requirements for condominium meetings, it says that they have to mail, deliver, or electronically transmit to unit owners. When it says deliver, does that mean they're allowed to just leave it on a mat in front of your door, or do they have to hand it to you? Or
that's what deliver means. That's what deliver means. Yes, you can actually slip it under the door. That's delivery. Correct. Delivery is not just defined by putting it in the mail. Delivery can be by actually delivering it. Yes.
Hand delivered.
Yeah, hand delivered. Let's say, you know, you live in a small building.
Leaving it on the mat where the wind can blow it away? I mean, people are saying that they did not get it.
Yeah, well, you know, it shouldn't be done. That would be you know, dumb. Or someone put it there because they deliberately don't want the people to know about the meeting, knowing it's going to blow away, right? But, you know, the bottom line is, if, let's say, you're in an indoor building and it's not going to blow away, certainly leaving it in front of a person's door, yes, I absolutely would consider that delivery.
This is an outdoor building.
Yeah, then I don't think it would make sense to do it that way, knowing it's going to blow away, obviously. Okay? And if a lot of people come forward,
that was legal or not.
Sure thing. If a lot of people came forward and challenged that and said they never got notice, I can tell you the DBPR arbitrator would probably rule in their favor. That's what I think about that. If they're in an outdoor condo, absolutely. All right, how about we go to Donna, also in Royal Palm? How are you, Donna?
Hi, how are you?
Okay, what's
up? When unit owners have no confidence in our board handling our money, is there a way to have our assessment money put in a separate bank account?
How do we start
this account?
Okay, so I can tell you lots of unit owners have tried that before.
Really?
And when they don't like things, you know, the way things are going, and they take the position that I'm not going to hand my money over to them, and I'm going to put it in, sometimes you'll even hear in an attorney's trust account or in a separate account, and you know what that winds up getting you in? Trouble.
No.
Big trouble. Why? Because no matter what, basically, you have an obligation to pay your assessments each month. There basically is no excuse whatsoever that you can come up with for failing to pay your assessments. That's, you know, those cases are losers for the unit owners time and again. If you don't like the way your board is handling your money, if you don't want them to have it, then remove them. And the only way you can remove them is by going through the recall process, right, where a majority of owners in your community would actually vote on a piece of paper to actually have those board members removed. If you can't do that, then you better continue to pay your assessments. If not, then you're going to face foreclosure of your unit. And instead of owing a month or two in assessments, you're going to owe thousands and thousands of dollars. So my advice, do not withhold payment of your assessments. Make sure it gets paid.
Thank you very much.
You got it, Donna. How about we go to Mark in Palm Beach Gardens?
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
How are you?
Good. So I'm in a condo, and the condo next to us is using like an Airbnb-type website. And
right.
So we're having a lot of issues with people coming over to our property, parking here, walking pets through our lot, and not cleaning up after. And what's the best way to sort of deal with the situation?
Yeah, that's difficult, you know, other than putting up signs. And, well, if they're parking on your property, you certainly have every right to tow them as long as you have the proper tow signs put up, right? So,
really?
I think, yeah, absolutely. If they're parking on your property and you have the tow signs put up, tow them, remove them. Put up signs that says you're going to be towed. I think that would be certainly a deterrent.
What if they're just being pigs?
Well, just walking through the property, you know, it's still, if you put up signs that says you're a trespasser, you know, they have no right being on the property. You can put up trespassing signs. Did you ever think about putting up gates? Does the community want to put up gates?
Well, we're not really set up for something like that. It would not be practical.
Okay, got it. But only thing you can do, really, is just put up signs and start towing people. Other than that, not much you really can do. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Sit out there with a shotgun if someone crosses your line? I mean, there's no way to do it.
Well, what's the legalities of the B&Bs in these condos?
They have, if that condo allows for short-term rental, then it allows for short-term rental. Unfortunately, that's sometimes a problem for the people next door.
But they're not trespassing then.
Well, if the people in the condo next door are coming onto his condo, that's trespass. That's definitely a trespass.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're complaining about. So, you know, how do you stop it? Difficult to stop it, but you can certainly make an effort by towing the vehicles. That's where I'd start. Okay?
So they can't use the people who own the condo's parking space?
No. Mark lives in a completely different condo, in a condominium next door, and they're trespassing on his land.
Okay.
So, yeah, the only way you can do, you know, keep them out is tow their cars, and you can put up no trespassing signs. What else can you really do, right?
Okay.
All right, how about we go to John and Dania? How are you, John?
Eric, good morning. Karen, good morning. Agreed with everything you said at the beginning of the show.
Thank you very much.
I saw some impromptu groups. I was in North Lauderdale late Friday afternoon. There were some impromptu gatherings on some overpasses with signs supporting Israel and, demeaning Biden.
Yeah,
and,
right.
I had time, believe me, I would have joined them, but I was working and I had to move quickly.
Unfortunately, you also saw in the same area, I think it was U.S. 1 and Griffin Road about a week or two ago, basically skinhead standing on the corner holding Nazi emblems.
No.
Yeah, right here, right in everybody's own neighborhood, guys, right in your own neighborhood, right on U.S. 1 and Griffin Road. So that's what's going on here.
Nazi place?
Yes, correct. Absolutely.
Sure.
Yep, that's right, John. Absolutely. Correct. That's what you're seeing. So wake up. Fight back before it's too late.
All right, and just a comment, Eric, and a quick question. We have we don't allow for Airbnb and short-term rentals in our rules and regulations. We can do that, correct?
Absolutely. Yep, you can say a minimum rental term is, let's say, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever you guys want to do.
Yeah, no, we've actually put the term in there, but yeah, if they want to, what they should do is, simply change the rules and regulations, amend the rules and regulations. But, it's easier said than done, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The other question I had, okay, records request I put in, 15th day, it's not answered. How is it that I go about getting that? Okay, is it a complaint to the DBP?
Yes, it is. That's correct.
Or is it a lawsuit? How do I then go about getting them fined $1,000 a day?
You're not going to get $1,000 a day for failing to... turnover records. Yeah, for $50 a day, right, for up to 10 days. But that's okay. But before you actually file that arbitration case, even though they already blew the deadline, it's a requirement that you give them another chance. So you have to send them a letter actually threatening arbitration and say, hey, I sent you a letter on such and such a date requesting access to records. You had 10 business days to give me access. You have not. Therefore, if you fail to give me access to the records within 5 days of receipt of this letter, I will be filing an arbitration action. That's how you start.
Okay, and go ahead, Eric.
No, and then if that 5 days is blown, you have the right to file, period.
Okay, by statute, I have to send a second chance.
That's correct. It's unfortunate, but yes, you have to. Correct. Otherwise, your case is automatically dismissed for failing to give pre-suit notice. Okay, so be careful about it.
Okay, well, that's why I called here. Always learning something new. Best show on the radio. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much, John. Appreciate it. Let's do this. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. and we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for CenterState Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, CenterState Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face-to-face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? CenterState Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. CenterState Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
The second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He is board certified in community association law. Just like a handful of attorneys in the state are, and half the state lives in a community association. It's a big deal. So if you have any questions about your HOA or condo, or you're on the board or you're a resident, give us a call, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Okay, back to the phones. We're stacked. How about we go to John in Pompano?
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Hey, John. How are you?
Eric, question. When the judge orders a case management conference for a case in which the condo association is a party, either plaintiff or defendant, can any of the condo association owners attend, or is it just open to the board members?
No. The court proceedings are all public proceedings. So many times residents of condos come to the meetings. The board comes to the meetings. They want to see what's going on. But these are, our courtrooms in the state, in every state, you're open to the public. So, yes, I'm not familiar with family law. Obviously, not every family law proceeding is open to the public for obvious reasons. But, you can go in and watch any jury trial that's going on in court at any given time. You can open the door and walk in. The courts, bottom line, have to be open so that everybody can see. Anybody's entitled to basically come to almost any hearing.
Is that true even for a case management conference where there might be discussion of settlement?
Yes, absolutely. Anything in front of the court, anything in front of the court is generally open to the public. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Okay. I was considering it to be like a mediation.
No, you're right. I mean, now, obviously, a mediation is not in front of the court. So mediation, no. Only the parties that are invited have the opportunity to attend. But court proceeding open to everybody. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks
Thank
for the call, John.
Thank you very much, Eric. I appreciate
you got it. Oh, Karen, I've had cases over the years where the condo association would hire a Greyhound bus, pack the Greyhound bus with people, and then bring them into the courtroom. Many times that happened.
Really?
So, yeah, well, you know, people in the community, if I represent a lot of people in the condo, it's a good strategy, right? Pack the bus, bring everybody in, let the judge see, you know, everybody who you represent.
That's
happens
awesome.
Happens
now you can just
time.
Do a Zoom call.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know what? Doesn't have the same effect as being in the courtroom.
That's
no two
right.
ways about it. How about we go to Jerry in Coconut Creek?
Good morning, Eric.
Hey, Jerry, how are you?
I have two questions to ask you. Two quick questions. Number one question, our board is considering changing the canopy at the pool from the color that it is now to a different color. Is that considered a material alteration?
Yeah, you know, I know it seems, you know, minimal to you, de minimis, whatever you want to call it, but I can tell you the big thing that that always, every time, the big characteristic that always results in something being called a material change is a change of color. So change of color of the building, change in color of the carpet, change in color of the walls, always are held to be material alterations requiring a vote of the unit owners. So I don't want to tell you, don't worry about the canopy. No one cares about the canopy. I can't tell you that in good faith. In good faith, I have to tell you, no, you got to be careful. If you don't get a vote of the unit owners to change that color of the canopy, you can install it and then have to rip it out if someone challenges it. So the better practice, the more safer practice is to go and get that unit owner vote first.
What if the canopy is the same color but they make it striped?
You know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, try to get it as close to, you know, as close to what it was as possible. But yes, somebody can make it difficult for you. File an arbitration action. Win. And remember, I drafted the statute in this regard that says you got to take that vote before the material alteration is made, and not a case you want to lose.
Yeah, you'd have to
undo it,
for the whole thing.
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
do it again, right.
Exactly. Bingo. Not what you want to go through. So I would tell you, be smart and get the vote. Okay? Jerry, you still there? I know you had another one. Did we lose Jerry? I think we lost Jerry. All right, Jerry wants a call back. He can. How about we go to Paula in Newport Richey?
Hey, Paula.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, Paula. How are you?
I'm trying to find out what we can do in an HOA where we're private about persons rifling through trash and picking out papers. We have, we just don't know what to do, really.
Who's trash?
Well, the trash is on the you know, the night before we put the trash out because the trash company comes out early in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so someone is found, you know, rifling through the papers in the trash, and they're not from our association. We know that.
Right. They're not
they
from
were
your association.
Seen in more than one place in the last few weeks.
Okay.
And we think that they're, you know, up to mischief picking out papers, not necessarily picking out something that can be recycled.
Okay. So they're also, you just said that they're not from your community, right? So it's a trespass.
No, they're not.
Okay. So they're trespassing unless they have permission to enter onto your property, right, from somebody that lives there, and apparently they don't, right? They're trespassers. Now, interestingly enough, Karen, do you have a expectation of privacy in the garbage that you throw out? Can the police search your garbage without a warrant?
Yes, yes.
Yes, they can. When you put your garbage out there, bottom line is that's it. You have no expectation in your garbage.
Even if
your
it's
garbage
in the closed-off little thing where the garbage bin is,
yeah, garbage
they can go in
has,
there?
Garbage has, yeah. Once you put your stuff in the trash, you no longer have any expectation of privacy in those documents.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that somebody can walk onto your property. Yeah,
right.
The only recourse is to call the police.
It's usually you know, someone in a vehicle or even two vehicles.
Really?
And, you know, actually, in this case, it seemed like they were targeting a home where someone had just passed away and had left the house.
Well, could
and
yeah,
so
I mean,
we were very concerned yeah. about that, and I thought that we could call the police and
yeah,
ask
you can,
them
you can.
To escort them out of our neighborhood because they don't live there and they're not visiting anyone there.
Right, you can call the police. Absolutely, I have no problem with
unless
that.
There's
could
really
be a private investigator that's doing it. We don't know.
Unless
right?
there's some really good furniture or that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, but bottom line is
right.
they're trespassing.
No,
call the cops.
The case.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call. Call
okay.
Paul.
Right.
Paul. I wish you luck.
Thank you.
All right. How about we go to Robert, West Palm Beach?
Hello, Robert.
Hello, Eric. I have a question about what is the difference between the 48-hour versus the 14 notice required for board meetings?
Okay, so your typical board meeting, right, typical board of directors meeting only requires 48-hour notice,
okay?
So any board meeting, 48-hour notice. However, when you have unit owner meetings, right, some board meetings where you're going to try to, let's say, pass a special assessment, right? Then you would require a 14-day notice. Your annual meeting would require a 14-day notice. So there's a couple of different types of meetings in the statute that require a 14-day rather than a 48-hour notice. If you don't have any, you know, like other than your annual meeting, if that's your only unit owner meeting during the year, then that would be the only meeting that requires a 14-day notice. All the board meetings, let's say you had 12 other board meetings, all those board meetings would be under a 48-hour notice and not a 14-day notice. Okay, so your average meeting, again, only 48 right. hours. Okay, I hope that answers your question. You got it. Let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. Keep the calls coming in. Please don't wait to the last minute. You know, we wind up hanging up on people when the show is over, you know, so don't save it for the last minute. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585, back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com. Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
If your association has ever been through a major restoration or renovation project, you know it can be a complicated, expensive, and stressful undertaking. Noise, dust, unexpected problems, and that C word no one wants to hear, change orders. But it doesn't have to be chaotic. DSS Condo is here to help you through the condo project management process. Most projects go over schedule and over budget. Without an expert, independent advocate in their corner, associations are exposed to cost overruns, low quality results, and long-term disruption for owners. DSS Condo is Florida's leading association project management firm. They provide tailored, expert construction management services for all types and sizes of association projects, helping you maintain control of the chaos. DSS Condo now offers customizable project management packages that can be modified to meet your association's needs and budget, and now services Miami, Broward, Palm Beach, and Collier counties. Contact DSS at 305-985-3772 or by visiting dsscondo.com. That's 305-985-3772.
Final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here. We're on 850 WFTL. Don't wait till the very end of the show to call in because we don't want to miss your call. The number to call is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And Eric, I just want to bring up that we already have a tropical, subtropical storm Anna. We've got hurricane season just around the corner.
Wow, really?
And everyone needs to, you know, get ready and get your neighborhoods all ready.
Yep. I think the latest update is it's supposed to be, again, a busier than normal season.
Yeah, up it's going to be more, you know how the Gulf was really hit last year?
Yeah.
They're saying it's going to be more like Georgia and the Carolinas. I don't know how they know this, but
they don't.
It just takes one. So, make sure your trees are trimmed and, just do the stuff you need to do to get prepared.
Absolutely. Hey, you want to hear a great stat? In the year that Hurricane Andrew hit, how many other hurricanes were there?
I think one.
That was one. I think that was the only one. Andrew. So you're right. It only takes one. How about we go to Jerry called back in Coconut Creek.
Jerry,
you had a second question.
Again, Eric, sorry, I lost the call somewhere.
That's okay.
I got your answer on the material alteration. Definitely is a material alteration on the color change. I got that. Then my second question was, we have a board of seven, but one of the seven is a rogue member. He does not agree to anything, and he does not join any of the meetings. He refuses to join the meetings, and we don't know what to do with him. Is there any such law that says if a board member refuses to join a meeting after so many meetings being absent, that he could be removed, or are we stuck with him?
So, matter of fact, I had a very similar case in my office this week where I represented the guy that was kicked off the board, right, because he failed to attend a couple of meetings in a row. Poor guy was sick, and the bottom line is I got him back on the board. Why? Because under Florida law, you can't have language in your governing documents that say you're removed from missing a certain number of meetings. You can't have language that says you're removed if you don't live in the community.
That's right.
The only way you can get removed under Florida law is, the recall process, or if you fall behind 90 days in your assessments, you're deemed to have abandoned your office, or if you get caught stealing money from the association, right? Or now a new one, if you fail to disclose a conflict of interest that you had.
Really?
Yeah, now the board members can kick you off as well. So those are the only ways, but there's that language that says if you miss three, you're automatically off. Completely meaningless language. Okay?
Okay, sir. In other words, we're stuck because we don't want to go through the whole process of a recall.
That's right.
We have to wait to the elections.
You're 100% right, Jerry. That's exactly right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
take care.
You got it. Be well. Right. Okay, how about we go to, who was that? That was Jerry. I think the next one is Joe in Pompano.
Good morning, Eric.
Hey, Joe.
I have a couple of questions. Thanks for your show.
Thank you.
I'd like to know, this is a question for Condo. Is there a specific limit on the amount of reserves a condo can hold before they have to decide about spending the money for improvements or giving a refund to owners on the maintenance?
No, see, it shouldn't work the way you're saying it. In other words, if you're supposed to have a limit that you're supposed to have in the roofer account. You're supposed to have a limit for painting. You're supposed to have a limit for pavement, right? In other words, let's say you need $100,000 to repair the roof, and you hit the $100,000 mark. That's it. There's no reason to continue to collect any further for that roof. So
is
you shouldn't be collecting anymore.
With pooling and
yeah, correct. Once you're 100% funded, on everything that's in you're reserving for, that's it. You shouldn't be collecting anymore. The assessments for everybody should go down if you're fully funded, hypothetically. The cap is when that particular line item is fully funded. That's the cap. Okay?
Okay. Okay, great. The other question is, if an owner wanted to question a board of directors' decision, who would be the agency to contact? Would it be the DPRB?
Are you talking about a condo or an HOA?
In a condo?
A condo.
Okay, in a condo, yes. So the DBPR, Department of Business and Professional Regulation, yes, they have jurisdiction over condominiums. And, yes, you can file complaints with them. They handle them all the time. If you live in an HOA, okay, you are out of luck, okay? Joe, thank you for the
call. Go to their website and get some information from
correct
them. Correct.
Department of Business and Professional Regulation. They keep changing the name. It's like Division of Condominiums, Timeshares, Mobile Homes, something like that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for your help, Eric. You help a lot of people for free here.
Thank you so much. Yes. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Does the condo ever give back any of the money for?
Good luck with that.
Really?
Good luck with that.
When does that ever happen?
That's kind of been a pet peeve of mine. Some condos think. Like, for example, condo hits a home run on an insurance claim, right?
Right.
And they make millions. And the millions are sitting in the bank, right? And the repairs are already done, right? Is that money? What is that money? Does the board get to keep that money, a few million dollars extra?
You get your assessment back.
Oh, you get that. That's what's called common surplus.
Okay.
Those monies belong to the unit owners. And, it's you know, the board can say, okay, look, everybody's supposed to get back, if we divide it up, $5,000 or whatever. But instead of doing that, we'll give everybody a $5,000 credit on their ledger. I would have no problem doing that. But that's the unit owner's money. That's not for boards to play with and do as they please.
So they don't give it back.
Yes, but oftentimes, yeah, they don't like to give it back. And sometimes, believe it or not, the attorney can tell them to give it back, and you know what winds up happening to the attorney?
He gets fired.
Fired, gone, goodbye, right. Who's next? Jeff in Lee County.
Hey, Eric, thanks for taking my call. I took
sure
the class the other night, Tuesday evening, and it was very good. I had a question that night on the flag, if you remember me. But my question today, it has to do with our HOA has hired a new sprinkler system company.
Yeah.
And come to find out, he is not licensed. He failed his license, his test for it.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, without question, if it's something that needs a license, a license is required, 100%, the association should only be hiring licensed people to do the job, you know, not an issue.
Yeah, that's,
whether it's electricity, yeah, whether it's, you know, construction,
sprinklers.
The association is under a fiduciary duty to the unit owners to hire qualified people to do the work. If something requires a license and the license is not obtained, the association should absolutely not be paying that person to do the work. And as a matter of fact, believe it or not, there's a law in the state of Florida, all right, that says, let's say an unlicensed person does work in a community and he finishes the job and he actually does the job pretty well and the association owes him $5,000, right? And the work that he did, however, required a license, but he never bothered to get that license. Do you know that the association can say, hey, buddy, we're not paying you that last $5,000. We thought that you were licensed and turns out you weren't. And since a license was required for the job, even though you did the job, even though it's perfect, we're not paying it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
But if it's not perfect, there's nothing you can do about it either.
Right, exactly, yes. But an unlicensed person has absolutely no claim whatsoever for work that they did if the job required a license, okay?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he should be out of there.
Yeah, without a doubt, without question. The board should only be hiring licensed people if the job requires a license. Yep. Nothing to talk about.
That's
an easy one.
That's my battle with my fellow board members.
And it's legal.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
If they had a contract for this guy to do it, it's legal for them to cut him because he's
right.
not licensed.
Exactly. That's exactly right. They can cut him because he's not licensed if the job requires a license.
Okay.
That's a big protect. That statute basically came out after Andrew, where you had a whole lot of unlicensed people doing a whole lot of bad jobs.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Florida legislature stepped in and said, we're not going to let those people utilize our Florida courts to collect a debt that they're not entitled to collect. That's really why that statute
Got
was
it.
Passed. How about we go to Paula? Where is Paula?
Rob
oh, I'm sorry,
Tampa.
Rob in Tampa. Sorry about that, Rob.
Yes. My question is about rules and regulations. How many times can the board change the rules and regulations for a HOA? Does
okay.
it need to...
Okay, let me tell you. Basically,
need to be...
The board can routinely change the rules in an HOA. However, there's one new law that passed about 2 years ago now, that HOA boards need to know if they're going to make a change to their rules. The statute was amended to say that if you're going to make amendments to your governing documents, that the amendments don't take effect until being recorded, right? And then they changed the definition of governing documents as well. And they threw in that definition, the rules. Part of their governing documents are the rules. So when the statutes are read together, it means that if an HOA is going to make a change to the rules, those rules do not become effective unless and until they are recorded in the county where the HOA is located. Why is this important? Because most boards never record their rules. I'm telling you now, for anybody listening from an HOA, if you want your rules enforced, 100% you should be recording them, okay? And certainly any amendments that go forward. So there's no limit on how many times, you know, a board can change the rules. They just got to make sure that they do it correctly. Hope that answers your question, Rob.
Yes, I have a follow-up question.
Yeah, sure.
So we have a rule about a mailbox. The manager is trying to stretch the interpretation to cover additions and decorations and modifications. How would you interpret?
I got to see it. I know you're asking me a tough question. You're asking me a tough question without me seeing the documents. Sometimes it's impossible to answer a question on the show without seeing what your specific governing documents say. But if you want to give me a call tomorrow, 954-983-1112. In the office again, 954-983-1112. I would be glad to go through it with you. How about we take Danny in Fort Lauderdale?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Danny? What's up?
I have a question regarding an incompetent board. Is there any legal way to remove the actual board because they are totally incompetent? They don't go by the bylaws or the rules and regulations, and they are doing more harm than good to the association.
Well, we went through this.
Most of the owners don't really pay attention or care to participate, so they never showed up on the annual meeting. So the same board continued being there just because of the lack of participation of the owners.
Over.
Bottom line is, unless you get them outvoted, this is the board that's going to remain as your board. The only way we had a call exactly like this earlier, and what was the bottom line? There's very few ways that a director can be removed from the board. You got to go through the recall process, right? Or they got to get caught stealing, or they got to be 90 days late on their assessments. That's the only way that you're going to remove this board, despite the fact that you think that they're incompetent. Okay? Got to get the community involved.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. And I know that I think Paula did call back, right?
So it's not like the governor of California. You can do a recall, though.
You can. You can do a recall.
Yeah.
You know, let's say you live in a 100-unit condominium. The idea is you get 51 of the units to vote in favor of recalling
okay.
a director or directors, right?
So the board you want to oust has to call the meeting, and people have to show up, and they have to get...
Yeah, I'm looking right now as I'm talking to you. I'm looking at a case that I won this week where we represented a unit owner, and the unit owner managed to get almost 60% of the building to vote in favor of recalling the board members, and the board members fought hard, and you know, bottom line is we won the case.
Yay.
So immediately all five people on the board were removed, and the people that we had as willing to step up and serve,
got it.
They were immediately reinstated.
Beautiful.
They were immediately put on the board.
Is that up in the blog that you have?
Not yet, but we will. Okay. Absolutely. Okay, I think we got one more.
No.
Oh, Pola didn't come back?
Yeah, so that's interesting, Eric, because you can do it relatively quickly, but you have to have that vote of unit owners. You had to represent them in court. This had to go to court.
No, not in court. These cases don't go to court.
Okay.
So, when you serve, you get these 100 ballots, let's say, together, and the best way to do it is you get a process server to do it, and you have a process server serve it on the. It could be the president, could be the manager, could be any board member, just like you would serve a lawsuit. Knock on the door. And the process server fills out an affidavit showing exactly what was served. Now the board has 5 days to hold a meeting. And at that meeting, they have to determine whether or not this was done correctly. And the only thing they're really allowed to look at is the four corners of each ballot. Was each one filled out correctly, basically? There's really no defenses anymore to these recall cases.
But who's in charge of the recall?
The plaintiff is one unit owner representative, whoever's willing to come forward and be the unit owner representative.
Okay, and then they get the ballots from whom?
They get the ballots. They knock on everybody's door.
Ah.
Right, and they go with a new ballot to everybody. And those ballots are served. The board has 5 days to decide whether or not the people did it right. And most boards fight all the time. There's always a fight. For one reason or another, they're going to say it wasn't done correctly, where the reality is there's almost no defense anymore. If you get 51... bottom line is, you win. It's
so
really
it just takes one person.
Yeah,
to
go forward and go get these votes. Yes, and I can tell you this, even in the case that I had that I had this week, the feeling was it probably is not going to happen. You can't get enough people involved.
Not true.
Not true. Right here, it happened to work out very good. So you never know, right? But the bottom line, no one until you try,
but
like anything else, right?
If it doesn't work out, you're the bad guy.
Now the board decides that it's not done right. Now the unit owners have to decide, or the unit owner representative needs to decide. What do we do? Got to go off to arbitration. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
In any event, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Condo Craze and HOAs. We see you again and speak to you again next Sunday here on 850 WFTL, 11 o'clock. Have a great and safe week, everybody. Be well.
Thanks, y'all.